So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
In the past 2 weeks, even maybe the past few years, maybe even longer, we've experienced some very harsh conversations about topics like politics, race, religion, gun control, and other issues. It seems like in the past we've been able to disagree without being disagreeable, but now that's a hard thing. Things are devolving into name-calling and arguments that are hurtful and sometimes destroying relationships, and I've seen it. There was a 2017 Stress in America survey. 27% of adults strongly or somewhat strongly agree that the political climate has caused strain between themselves and their family members. And with the holidays coming upon us, I want to discuss how to navigate these hard conversations so we don't have turkeys flying in each other's faces. And with us to discuss this I'm going to put your microphone on, is Ray Kuritzi.
Perfect.
Why am I having such a hard time?
It's a tricky one. There's a bunch of Y's and I's in there.
Now I get it. Okay. Ray Kuritzi, who is with the Center of Conflict Resolution. She's an attorney. She is a licensed and certified mediator, and she's teaching a class on Thursday, November 8th, called Difficult Conversations Workshop.
Yes, exactly.
Who decided, how do you decide that this is necessary? Is it because we all know that this kind of stuff is happening?
Absolutely. The idea for this program, I have to give credit to Perry Karim, our training director. She, exactly 2 years ago now, had the idea that folks might be starting to have some really hard conversations, really in the wake of the 2016 elections, right? There was a lot. It was a really tumultuous time, even in the run-up to the elections. And she had the idea that we could offer a workshop at the Center for Conflict Resolution, CCR, that would really be focused on preparing folks to engage in those conflict, not necessarily those conflicts, but those conversations in a really productive way.
So, is there some idea as to why? I mean, I've heard the talks that perhaps because we have the internet, perhaps because we have news stations that are now very polarized. So if you are conservative, you watch Fox. If you're liberal, you watch MSNBC, and you can hear your own political beliefs right back at you. And if you don't want to hear something that's against what you believe in, you don't have to listen to it. And so we have become very polarized, and we are not accepting of hearing things that offend us or that don't comport with our positions. Is that, I mean, it's hard to say, but is that what's going on?
I mean, it certainly seems like it's what's going on. It's not my, media isn't my expertise, but from being alive the last few years and on Facebook, I mean, that definitely seems like what's happening. And, you know, what we do know happens for sure is that humans have a biological stress response, right? Like when we are under stress, which people, right, we always talk about the old saber-toothed tiger, right? That, right, we either freeze or we fight or we flee, right? And I think that what happens a lot when we, like you're saying, right, I can go all day listening only to people that agree with me and stay very comfortably in my bubble. And when I'm confronted with something that I find to be a stressor, maybe someone who disagrees with me or says something that I think is really offensive, for some people, the thought is, I'm going to avoid this conversation. I'm not going to have it at all. I'm not going to go there with her, that sort of a thought, which can be detrimental. And then for other people, it's really like, well, I'm going to fight you now to change your mind. Which doesn't work.
It doesn't work, does it? I mean, when it comes to big topics, whether it's gun control or abortion or the death penalty, I mean, no, there's no way that I'm going to change your mind or you're going to change mine about the way we feel about these things.
No, if you and I decided right now that we have really different views about, let's say, gun control, I would not engage in that conversation with you, just like ready to get new data and shift my core belief. But instead, what we can do is shift what we're having the conversation about and how we're having the conversation.
So can you give me an example of that? So you're engaging, you know, someone, you know, you're talking about the shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And I say, we got to get rid of those guns. They're all so terrible. We should not have guns, and Second Amendment should go away. And okay, so
I actually have a perfect real life example for this. So I am a professional in conflict resolution. I'm the programs director at CCR. I'm a mediator. I'm all about resolving conflict. And my sister, my younger sister, for years sold guns. Like, worked at a gun counter professionally. That was okay. What she did. And we are really different in a lot of ways. And for many, many years, we could not engage in a dialogue around guns, gun control, gun policy without breaking down into a huge fight, right? Without really her yelling, her crying and me yelling is usually our, it's like our natural dynamic.
Well, you're a lawyer. You yell for a living.
Absolutely. I was born that way. Yeah. And she's avoidant. And so, right? But, you know, after years of having unsuccessful discourse, I did a training that was similar to this in thinking about how we engage in these kind of conversations. And really what I'm able to do now when my sister and I talk about guns is recognize that, you know, my sister was the only woman working at that whole gun counter, which is, I think, awesome, right? I'm all about women entering fields that have been historically
male dominated. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and it's like, oh, wait, like, we're talking about guns, but we're also talking about this thing that I think is awesome. And then, you know, once we were able to stop yelling and crying, when we talk about like what sort of measures should exist, we actually agree almost all of the time. It's just that, you know, she has this literal thing she values, and I don't have the same value for it. But when we start talking about solutions, we actually have a lot more common ground when we can stay calm and realize that I don't think that everyone should get their guns taken away, and she doesn't think everybody should get free guns, you know. And
right.
And once,
it's not as extreme as that.
Absolutely. You know, we have really common values around those things. It just took us years of unsuccessful conversation to start to have some good ones to realize that we actually share some values, and we can, and now we have challenging conversations still. You know, I'll say, well, what's this perspective in the gun community? How, you know, what's your response to this? You know,
and intelligent, non-personal discussion.
Absolutely. And then I'm often, as much as I hate to admit it, informed by my little sister, you know, because there's so much about how guns are regulated in Illinois and licensing and purchasing that I had no idea was in place, you know, and she, of course, knows that from it having been her profession. And so we're able to teach and learn once we're able to openly dialogue.
And that's interesting. I'm going to give you an example. In my life, I represented a serial killer in the last set of his death row appeals. And all anyone has to do is Google me, and you know who he is, okay? Not a good guy, okay? Really, on the list of probably the worst guys ever in the history of the world, right? And as far as murdering. And so I had people who were in my face about the death penalty. And I certainly didn't, like, go into a cocktail party and start saying, hey, you guys are stupid because you believe that the death penalty is the way to handle this. No, but what I would do sometimes, and people would say, they go through their rant about how I was terrible because I was representing someone as terrible as this guy. And then I'd say, you know what, I did it for the reasons, and this is why I did it. And sometimes they'd say, well, what was he like? You know, because they were interested, but they had to say that. They had to say they didn't like me for doing that. But then they were interested. And when they were interested, I gave them information. I didn't try to change their mind. I gave them facts. And I said one of the things that I believe that is interesting is that the death penalty costs more than putting someone in jail for the rest of their lives. And so, you know, even if you think the death penalty is the greatest thing in the world, you got to think about that cost, because why waste the money on someone who should just, you know, throw away the key, put that guy in jail and just leave him in there, you know? And sometimes I was able to connect with people, but again, it was never, you don't know, I will tell you. It was more listening to their conversation and trying to find a little edge there where I could say, I understand why you feel that way. If it were my kid, I would be in the same position you are.
Yeah,
so it's finding some commonality. And if that may
exactly
be what you're saying with your sister.
Yeah, we call that common ground, right? When we're talking about conflict resolution and mediation, you know, when folks are in a conflict, if you can find even one small piece of common ground, you can often build a productive conversation from that.
So what if someone starts in with a personal thing? You like Donald Trump, therefore you're a misogynist and a racist. Anyone who likes anyone who likes Hillary Clinton is a liberal, stupid, you know, wasting of money, of taxpayer money, you know, that type of. So when someone starts doing that and it becomes a personal attack right away, What's the way to diffuse that?
I mean, that's sort of, really when someone's coming right, there's actually sort of two ways that that shows up, right? Sometimes I'm looking right at you and I know you're a Trump supporter, and I'm saying Trump supporters, but what I'm really saying is Karen, right? Like, yes. There's one way of doing that. And then there's also that thing that happens where maybe people don't realize that there are people in the room who don't think like them.
Yes.
Right? And you're sort of making that generalization. And I think that in both of those circumstances, right, first there's a decision to be made about whether or not you want to engage in this, right? To engage in a difficult conversation, it takes resources, which is why we recommend that you be really prepared to do it. And if you're at the end of your day and all you're trying to do is like check out at the grocery store, maybe you don't have it in you. And,
right.
And if you're making the conscious decision not to engage, that's totally appropriate, but you want to be really thoughtful about where you're doing this work. But if you've got it in you and you think it makes sense, there's a probably different ways to start it, and you've got to do what feels natural to you. But for me, I would say, I would open with being really clear about like, I don't agree with that. You can come out, because what's hard is that when you say, make a generalization like that, you've undermined my values.
Right.
Right. And I'm insulted by that. And when you've undermined my values, I feel like I really have to stand up for them. So
got it. So what we're going to do with Ray is we're going to do a little mock Thanksgiving dinner with my uncle, who has different opinions than I do. And you're going to kind of prepare us for it. And then you're going to step in and see if you can nip this in the bud. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show on WGN.
Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. While you see it your way, there's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can
work it out. Jerry's going to see it my way. I know it's going to happen. We're here with Ray Carizzi from the Center for Conflict Resolution, and she's a certified mediator and attorney. And there's a seminar coming up. I want to plug it. It's called Difficult Conversations Workshop. It's this Thursday, November 8th. And where is it? Can you tell people how they can get?
Absolutely. It's at the Center for Conflict Resolution at our office, which is located downtown. To find more information about the training, folks should just go to the website, which is ccrchicago.org. There's a lot of information there about this training and other conflict management trainings that people might also be interested in. So I would send them there. They can also call us at 312-922-6464. We'd be happy to talk to them about the training and see if it's what they're looking for.
So Center for Conflict Resolution is a really cool place. It's a non-for-profit organization, and they resolve your disputes for free.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're really excited. This year in 2019, we're going to be celebrating 40 years in Cook County. We provide free mediation services to anyone who wants it in any kind of dispute. So neighbors come to us, people who have court cases, parents who are parenting from separate homes. There can be a legal action or no legal action. We have no income requirement, and our services are available in Spanish as well as English. We're able to do we mediate about 1,500 cases a year. We're able to do that using a core of certified volunteer mediators who dedicate their time to get trained in our facilitative mediation model, and to provide those services for free to the community.
It's a fabulous service. And
thanks,
Karen. It really is. And I've used the service with clients, and the people are very professional. They know what they're doing. They're bringing people together, and they're resolving disputes outside of court, which is what you want to do. I know I'm a lawyer, I'm a litigator, but this is the way to do it. You sit down. It's not always the most pleasant thing to sit down with people with whom you disagree, but the mediators have been trained to do this. I'm a trained mediator myself, so I know that some of the skills that you learn are to calm things down and to bring people together, and it's a wonderful thing. I'm going to go to the text line before we do our little mock Thanksgiving dinner. 847 area code Thanksgiving. No, let's see. No, this is 773. She says, help. Liberal and conservatives are probably going to make little barbs and comments at our Thanksgiving dinner. How can one not speak one's mind if we can feel the conviction of our speech? Tina.
That is a great question, Tina. It goes back a little bit to what I was talking about before the break. That idea of like, when you kind of come at my values, I feel a real responsibility to stand up for them. And also that can be exhausting. But What I would recommend absolutely is that you recognize what's going to be the trigger for you, right? What are the things you're worried about that are going to come up at Thanksgiving dinner? And which of ones of those are you willing to engage in a difficult conversation with? And which of those things are you not? And sort of know ahead of time for what might come up. We're going to do a little role playing here.
Yes, we are.
But some of the things that very simply are, taking a break. Right? Just getting out of the space.
And not an alcohol break, I take it. Because that sounds like it's going to enhance the problem.
That's true. It could make it much worse. Yeah, absolutely. One of the ideas, too, is to try to figure out what the person means by what they're saying. Sometimes we're really flippant and we swear, we insult, we make gross generalizations. But when I do something like that and then you say, what did you mean by they're all stupid, right? And then I have to actually think critically about my perspective and my opinion. And making the speaker sort of take that pause and think critically about what they're trying to convey can shift the conversation to the thing that's actually happening so that we can get into the thick of it, which is where you do the good work.
Hopefully. And even if you disagree on facts, which, we disagree on opinions, but now we're also disagreeing largely on facts and statistics and things that maybe were out there and there was a true fact. Mm-hmm. Now there are no true facts.
Yeah. I don't have the solution for that because if I did, I'd be very wealthy and we would all be living very peaceably. But I will say that one of the things that sometimes happens in a mediation is that two people will disagree so completely about what Denise said, right? They'll go over and over and they have very different memories of what happened.
Right.
And sometimes as the mediator, to get them past that, what we'll do is say, can you disagree about this and still move forward? Right. So sometimes when people can't change their position on a fact, there's still a lot of other things that they can do to move forward, to resolve, to make a plan, and they don't actually have to change the other person's mind.
As long as the goal, I would imagine, is we want to walk out of here not arguing anymore, we're not suing each other, having a family, parenting plan, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That goal has to be probably the strongest of all of the motivations in order to get that done.
Absolutely. And really what you see in the types of situations that we're preparing for here with these difficult conversations is a space where you have a relationship, right? And that relationship is important. And so are these political values. And so how do we balance both of those things without sort of destroying each other?
Sure. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Jerry, are you ready for this? You're always ready. Okay, here we go. So I'm little old Karen, and I'm going to a Thanksgiving dinner at my family's house. And my uncle, whom I haven't seen for a couple of years, is going to be there. And he sends me these horrible emails. In my view, I'm super liberal. He's super conservative. We disagree on every single item of anything. And he sends me these things knowing it's just going to bait me. So I know he's going to start in with me. I know he's going to start in with me. So, Ray, what do I do? Okay, I just know that Uncle Jerry is going to really stoke it up, and it's going to be one of those things that I could just storm out and just eat my dinner at Taco Bell or something.
Yeah, the first thing you have to do is get prepared for those triggers, right?
Okay.
What's the topic right now?
Guns. He's going to go out. He's going to be wearing a gun to the dinner table. I know it. I can see it.
So you have to decide what your triggers are and really sort of plan for yourself, how do I manage stress triggers effectively? That might be slow, deep breathing. That might be making sure you're not sitting across from him, right? There are things that you can do in preparation, literally in the space and literally for yourself. One of the things that works for some people is all the stuff that we talk about, like when you're getting really angry, right? Counting backwards, thinking about something else. Because really what you want to stave off here is the emotional flooding, right? So biologically, when that flight or fight is kicking in and that's the space you're in and you're just sort of raging when you're full of emotion, you can't get to the part of your brain that you need to have a productive conversation. So you want to stave off being overwhelmed emotionally. And if it's happening, You want to be ready to know what are those indicators for me and how do I take a step back so that I can regain control of myself.
Okay. All right. We're going to the dinner table. I'm opening the door. Knock, knock, knock. Hi, Auntie Jan. Uncle Jerry. Uncle Jerry, I haven't seen you in 2 years. How are you?
Good, Karen. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Are you eating turkey this year, or are you a vegan? One of those liberal vegans?
No, you know, I usually stay away from the meat. I do, but, you know, it's all right. It looks great, doesn't it? Doesn't the food look great here? Look at all that good food.
It looks great. That's why you should eat meat.
Yeah, you know, I haven't done that in a while. You know that.
Maybe we can find you a safe space so you can eat your meat in solitude.
Oh, that's, you know, there's plenty of sweet potatoes, and I'll eat the sweet potatoes, and you eat the meat. How's that?
Eh, it's weird. Everybody eats meat. Everybody eats turkey. And if you eat turkey this year, we're going to give you a trophy. How's that?
Okay. All right, Uncle Jerry. Well, anything else you want to say to me?
Yeah, are you still against guns?
Am I still against guns? You saw me on television doing that some analysis on the gun control. In fact, this whole weekend we had 12 shootings, I think 2 deaths. Even though the weather was cold, 12 shootings in Chicago. It's just too much.
Yeah,
don't you think?
All the law-abiding citizens should be armed.
You think so?
There are 500 million handguns in this country already. And hey, guess what dictators do when they take over control? They immediately confiscate everybody's weapon.
Are you really afraid of that?
Yes. Oh. And what I'm really afraid of is our own government.
Could you pass the coleslaw, please? Okay. Is that a gun? Is that a gun you're wearing in your belt, Uncle Jerry?
No, it's not a gun I'm wearing. I wouldn't wear it in my belt. Keep it concealed. That's why I have a concealed carry.
Okay, of course you do. So, okay, well, how's everything going? How are your kids?
Why are you changing the subject? You know, every right you have as an American was won for you by a man with a gun, starting with the Revolutionary War.
Okay. Well, that's your opinion. You know what? You want to jump in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know,
do you want some sweet potatoes?
I do. I'll take a little turkey too. So, you know, the thing is that it's really clear that Karen's doing a lot of work and bringing a lot of work to this difficult conversation, right? And Jerry,
Not so much.
No, you know, but I think you did a lot of things really well, right? So you tried to change the subject, which honestly, it works about half the time. It didn't here, but that most people can read the room on something like that. You know, changing the subject really worked. And you asked a lot of questions, which I think was also, you know, when he was talking about, you know, a concern about dictators, you know, you said, is that something you're really concerned about? And I don't know how genuine your interest was in what his fears are, but engaging that way in sort of the substance of the thing that he's saying can be really productive, right? I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the idea of interest-based negotiation, right? Which is this theory that when we negotiate, what we want to do is figure out what's important to everybody who's negotiating, and maybe we can come up with a better resolution. And one of the ways that you can also employ that negotiation skill is in how you have a conversation, right? So by trying to figure out what's important to somebody, right? What do they value? What's under what they're saying? You can have a more productive dialogue.
Well, and you can also agree that guns have been problematic. The question is, do we arm people in synagogues, or do we just get more guns off the street? I mean, we both agree that these things are horrible. And sometimes, like, I'm looking at a listener, 815 area code, I find the best way to discuss political issues is just to ask why they have the views they do. For example, gun control. I support the Second Amendment. I hunt and use guns. When someone mentions they want more gun control, I just mention that I hunt and I have been around guns my whole life. And then we can reach some sort of, you know, amicable discussion.
That, right. That's perfect, too. Because that, right, what that listener saying is they identify what their position is, right? So I'm going to say right away, well, you know, I make it clear I'm not on the same page as you, but then they're talking about what the value is for them and what the experience is for them. And really when you're asking, it's all about that tone of voice, right?
Right, right. What, Jerry, you know, Uncle Jerry?
First of all, those aren't my beliefs, of course, but I completely felt dismissed by her.
You did?
Yeah. So, and when she dismissed me, that means she doesn't approve of my value, and then she doesn't approve of me.
And what would have worked?
Hell with her. But,
calm down, Jerry. What do you think would have worked to make you feel more engaged with?
Was I condescending?
Well, she kept dismissing me. Mm-hmm. If she would have engaged.
Yeah. So maybe more questions? Yeah.
I think she should have engaged me head on.
Fought with you some more?
Yeah.
You think so? You think that would have gone well?
I would just have said, I appreciate what you're saying. I disagree with it. Let's move on.
You got personal right from the beginning, though, with your liberal vegan stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that was not a nice way to start. Can we agree that that was not a nice way to start the conversation?
I've been your uncle for 50 years. I know, where you're coming from, you socialist.
What's interesting about that is that if I was just going to break down what I think was important to Jerry in this, it was that he kind of wanted to have a fight. Right, Jerry was hunting for a fight, right? So it seemed like he wanted to engage.
And dismissing me brought the fight on.
It exacerbated it for you.
Yeah.
Totally.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that, good luck in your holiday plans, everyone. I hope it goes well for you. And Ray Kuritzy, at the Center for Conflict Resolution, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us once again how to reach the organization and how to attend this Thursday's Difficult Conversation Seminar?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Karen. The Center for Conflict Resolution, you can find us at ccrchicago.org. or at 312-922-6464. The Having Difficult Conversations workshop is this Thursday, November 8th from 6 to 8. Head to the website or give us a call if you're interested in attending. We're happy to give you more details.
Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN.